Hello, everybody, and welcome to What We Are Into. This is the show where my co-host and I, Roxy Stryer, discuss. That made it sound like I was calling myself Roxy Stryer. Fuck that up. Where my co-host, Roxy Stryer, and myself.
My co-host and I, Roxy Stryer.
Yeah. My co-host, Roxy Stryer, and myself answer your questions about the things that we could talk about in the main show. Lot to talk about, so I'm kind of a hurry, but I did want to start off with the in chronological order. Real quickly, Roxy, let's talk about Barry, the most existentially bleak comedy that may have ever existed.
I don't even remember. I know I watched it, but what happened this week?
I felt the same way because it was I've been behind, and so I've been watching the episodes like the day before we record this. This was the first time I watched it the night it aired, and now it's like, oh, it's a week ago.
This is the week that it was leaked what she did in the elevator, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which was I think the big crux that people will focus on is last week Barry was poisoned, and this week the dad of the actor he killed in the first episode finds him, which that felt like a bit of a stretch. Like, how did he just stumble across him? But whatever. Yeah. And fucking Barry's having like afterlife visions, which fuck. But anyway, I'm glad you brought up Sally's bit because that actually was the most compelling part to me because they impart a lesson that I have met many a person in Hollywood that could benefit from, because it is all well and good, and I fully support getting rid of the toxic people in your life. That is not the same as dealing with your own toxicity. You can get rid of the toxic people in your life and still be a toxic person, and I felt like that was the lesson they were imparting here.
Yeah, I think that it's also about levels and degrees. Like you and I have talked about, Barry is a serial killer.
Yeah, he's a murderer. Whatever Sally does is not the same as what Barry does.
However, Sally is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I actually can relate and connect to her,
even though
she's an asshole. Like, she does what on my worst days I think about doing.
Yeah.
You know, getting in somebody's face, screaming in the elevator, you fucking cunt.
Yeah.
How did you do this to me? Because DJ, you and I have both been working in this industry long enough that I have been screwed over by people that I thought would not screw me over. Whether that is stealing work of yours or taking credit for something or promising you something that they don't deliver on, or worse, you know, that has happened. And you feel like cornering them in the elevator and screaming at them, but you do not.
Mm-hmm.
But Sally does.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get outsmarted by the evil. And when that went everywhere and she was like, I got to make a statement. I relate to that too. Like you and I talked about at the beginning of the episode. Sometimes you say the wrong thing and you're like, I got to make a statement. And it's like, or.
Just don't dig the hole deeper.
Yep. So, I thought that I was really, really interested in her storyline this episode. Was way less interested in Barry's storyline this episode.
Yeah, Barry's was a little bit. You know, Sopranos did something similar to in its last season where like a character is off on like a spirit journey and then we cut back to the real world. And I'm like, I don't know that I think this works. I think if you're in the character's brain, you're living there for that episode. You know what I mean? Like that's where you're at, because cutting back to reality is strange. I did think the moment that did work for me, and that journey did work for me, is when he's on the beach with a bunch of the people he's killed and he hears a sound. We don't know what it is. And he looks up and then he wakes up in the hospital and he sees that the actor's dad killed himself. That was like, that was a gut punch. But yeah, Sally, because I think I get the impression that Sally's kind of on a Cousineau journey. Like, I feel like Cousineau has probably done some things in his past that are similar to what Sally is going through now. And what I liked about the Sally screaming moment is, one, again, it echoes what Barry did to her, which I thought was really interesting. But also, she is justified in being angry at her assistant, but also she was like, she treated that assistant like shit. She treated her like shit. And also she's like, she's making these statements of like, you never had to struggle. You never had to. Do you know that's true, Sally? I've gotten the impression that she probably went through similar things, not necessarily abusive situations, but like, she struggled just like you. You know what I mean? You're being entitled. You're behaving as like an entitled person because you are an entitled person. But you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting. It's compelling. It's like you said, it's relatable. Good stuff. The season's fucking good. I don't know that I've liked the last two episodes as much as the earlier episodes, but the season's really good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that a lot of people who kind of fell off the season or didn't love it, I feel like this episode embodies why.
Mm.
But there are still things that I'm holding on to and moments that I really like. But I don't think it's a good sign that I'm not binging, DJ. I am watching week to week. And I was like, which one was this one again? Mm-hmm. As opposed to some of the other shows that I'm watching right now. Like even, for example, Flight Attendant just had its finale. Hacks just had its finale. And those were shows that I was like on the edge of my seat every week.
Yeah.
This one, because it does dabble with that humor line a lot, I don't think it's supposed to have you every week like, whoa. Sometimes you're just supposed to be like, this is fucking absurd.
Yeah.
But with so much other TV on right now, I don't think that this is my top show in the way that it used to be.
Makes sense. Let's go over to Obi-Wan. This is part four. I did watch it, but I don't really have a lot to say about it. I'm more interested in hearing your thoughts.
I feel super similar, DJ.
Okay.
You know how much I loved episode three.
Yeah.
Episode four, I was like, are we spoilers or no?
Yes. Yes. Because it came out Wednesday. Yes. Sorry, everybody
episode
at home.
Episode four, spoilers. I was like, how many times are we going to ask Leia the same question? We are real, like, and the best part is I always loved Leia, but like Leia ain't no narc. Leia's laying it down. I was like, you go on with your bad self, girl. But very little Obi-Wan and Vader, which is why I'm here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of questioning Leia, which didn't go anywhere. And I actually like this character, Reva.
Reva.
I don't know how you say it. But I like her.
Third
I know
sister.
A lot of people. I know a lot of people don't though. So, I think that this episode, in which people already, some people don't like her character because it is, It is like we are with our original characters, Leia, Obi-Wan, and Vader. So it's a lot of pressure to put on a new character to be loved as much as some of these most loved characters of all time for decades. But I like spending time with her, but I don't need a situation in which it's just her and Leia over and over and over again.
And I think this goes to another, I think that's an interesting point. And I think maybe another reason it's harder to connect with, but I think it's true of all the characters. I think you're right that maybe a lot of the frustration, this is something I felt with Star Wars fans in general, that I think sometimes, at least the most vocal ones, if they're being genuine about their criticisms, have other criticisms about the thing they're watching that they're unable to articulate. And so it gravitates towards this, oh, here's a character I don't recognize. It must be their fault. And it's like, well, no, there's other things that aren't maybe not working for you. And I think the example here is that none of the characters are really like, does Reva have an arc? Cause I feel like it's pretty, for me, it feels pretty obvious and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but she was one of the kids in that very opening sequence. And so,
no, of course, and she's going to end up being good. We know.
But like, are we taking any steps towards, you know what I mean? Like you said, she's just asking Leia the same questions. Leia's already basically fully formed Carrie Fisher in a little kid's body. She's not growing or changing. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, where are we going? What are we doing? Is the question I would have.
We have two episodes left to do a lot, but I also have no idea what we have to do.
Yes. Is your impression that this is like a limited series, or do you think we'll get a season two of Obi-Wan?
It was supposed to be a limited series, but now there's definitely been conversations of a season two. So
weird. Okay, are you caught up on The Boys?
Yeah, I watched last night. That show to me is must-watch TV.
Fuck this episode. Fucking Homelander.
Where are you, DJ? Have you seen the whole season?
I've not seen the whole season yet. I did watch. After this last episode, I'm probably going to, I have the screener, so I'm probably going to move ahead because I kind of want to know what the fuck happens.
You've seen the first four?
I've seen the first four. I'm caught up to the first four that have aired.
So by the time that we had the episode last week, I hadn't watched any of them, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. DJ, the show's so fucking good. It is so fucking good. It is disturbing. It is so weird. It is so vulgar. It is so unfortunately relatable to me. It is insane, just like with the state of the world and what it's like working for corporations and in the industry. I love this show so fucking much, and this episode, Homelander, is such a goddamn nightmare. And spoilers on this one or not?
Yes.
And spoilers on this one, like when we finally get to him bringing Starlight up there and saying, repeat it after me, this will happen to Huey.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is she supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, you're not stuck between a rock and a hard place. You are the rock, and you can't move.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such an because there was a few things, and it takes me, and this is actually a really compelling place to put the show, where I don't know what we do about Homelander, because the few checks that we had, the very few checks and balances we had are gone now. Fucking God bless Giancarlo Esposito. He's so fucking talented, and the way he plays his kiss off line with Homelander, I was really assuming Homelander was going to fucking kill him, but I feel like the way Giancarlo Esposito played that is as if he knew, like, you could tell, like, this might be the last thing I ever say to anybody. Like, this is, I'm throwing down with Homelander, and I might not walk out of this room.
yeah, totally. Like, the whole premise of I'd rather be loved, but second to that, I'll be hated.
Yeah.
It makes him just one of the best villains of all time, because we have, I thought we had dirt on him, and now we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't.
Yeah. Leonard Kim says, Anthony Starr understood the assignment. Damn. He's so good. Same. I don't know what to do. I do think I have mixed feelings on what was the guy's name? Soundwave, something. Her ex, the guy that Homelander,
Soundwave or something like that.
I have mixed feelings on that, because I think it was tricky for the context is tricky for the actress who plays Starlight, because there's a lot of things that are going on there. She needs to feel worried about Huey. She needs to be devastated because this person she cared about is murdered. I also think strategically, I hope we deal with the fallout of it more, because it's like you literally just recruited this guy. How are you going to explain, like, oh no, he's super fucking dead now. Like, super dead. Also, fuck, man, I also like that the show, and it's so fucking tricky, but the way it takes characters like the Deep and A-Train, who are bad people, we've established Deep in particular, are bad people, and we can take the time and we can humanize them, and we can say that there's these relatable aspects to them, but never forget, it doesn't matter that A-Train is trying to take down this racist guy. He will fucking sell out his teammate if it puts him in good standing with Homelander. Don't forget that the original seven, give or take possibly a Maeve, are fucking assholes that will sell you the fuck out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know that last week you had said that you felt like it was too dark for you right now. Is that the verbiage you used?
It can be like after. I felt gross after this episode. I was like, oh man, I need to go like do something else for a minute, because it's so bleak in a way that our world is bleak. You know what I mean?
And is that how you're still feeling though? Like too bleak for this current moment in your life?
I think it's the best season of the show. I'm really enjoying it. I'm probably gonna, because I do have screeners, I'm probably gonna speed up because of the reveal with Soldier Boy. I want to know how that fucking plays out. I don't know how you felt. I feel like his beam is now, the beam he released is able to take away powers, which would be super convenient. But it is.
I cannot hear his name and not think about, like, Soulja Boy, I roll out of bed. Yeah. Every time they say it, I'm like, oh my God.
But I don't know. Like, I couldn't watch two episodes back to back. You know what I mean?
See, I watched the first three episodes back to back, boom, 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 and was like, I am devastated there's not a fourth episode right now. Like, bring it on. Because to me, while it is bleak, it's more disgusting. You know, it's not bleak like it's all grays and there's no hope. It's like, I feel like when I watch it, I'm in fighter mode. Like, fuck you. Yeah. You know, if that makes sense.
Totally. Very excited to check out the rest of the season. I'm glad you're watching as well, so we can keep talking about
it. Oh, it's so good, DJ.
It is really good. It is. But how fucked up was that? How do I describe it? The sex scene in episode one, the sex scene gone wrong in episode one.
Seems what everybody's talking about, and I'm like, that was fucked up, but it is equally as fucked up as a lot of things on this show.
That's fair. Let's go to something, not that we weren't positive about the show, but just a more positive piece of entertainment. You said you saw Everything Everywhere All at Once this week.
So after I saw Jurassic World Dominion,
you're like, I need a palate cleanser.
I stayed and watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is equally as long as Jurassic World Dominion, mm-hmm. But oh, so much better. Mm-hmm. The movie's great. It's really, really good. It's beautiful. I think it's just done excellently. I did have little qualms with it throughout. But in general, I love that the messaging of this movie are about kindness and love.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, do we need more movies about that? Mm-hmm. As simple as that sounds. But then it takes the messages of kindness and love and puts them in a lens of like extreme artistic expression.
Yeah.
That is done in a way that is wildly entertaining, super intriguing, beautiful to look at, and unique. Yep. And so while I think they could have shaved 15 minutes off this movie and that it was a little self-indulgent at times, and there's a bit that they do with Jenny Slate's character that I don't really like. Just we're harping on her big nose because we've got a lot of fucking Jewish big nose things that are happening recently. And I'm just like over it and annoyed. Yeah. It's such a small part of the movie.
No, but I get it.
Just like little things that stood out to me. But then there are little things that stand out in such a positive way. Like there's pop culture references to songs and to TV shows that I'm like, that was fucking brilliant. The characters are amazing. I think that a lot of people are talking about the parents, but to me, the daughter should be nominated for Best Supporting Actress. I just think she was so wildly good.
Yeah, she's incredible.
And the juxtaposition
in it.
Of the characters that she's playing are like, gosh, just so brilliant. And there's, we kind of cross genres here, you know, like, there's some martial arts and there's some comedy and there's a lot of mystery, and we're dealing with, as people know, the multiverse. So for all those reasons, it's definitely a top. I happen to personal preference like Top Gun as my favorite movie of the year, but this definitely took my number two seat.
Yeah, very, very cool. Did you cry at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I did feel really emotionally connected, but I don't want to give spoilers because I know it just came on streaming, so people are starting to watch it. But like the main connection in this movie is the mother-daughter, and that from my personal life was wildly unrelatable to me.
Okay.
So I was more connected to the mom and her father, and to the mom and her husband and storylines there. The mother-daughter one, while I thought it was beautiful, it was so so foreign to me in terms of like that dynamic, because I've never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
That at times I was like more angry with the mom than understanding.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
What about you, DJ? You liked the movie, but
I liked it a lot.
How do you feel about it now that you saw it a long time ago?
I still love it. I got very emotional. And it's interesting talking to different people, because I had a friend that got emotional for the Rock bit. I won't say anything more than that.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. But for me, the big moment, I really like what they did with Waymond, the husband. And he has a moment where he's talking about his philosophy, essentially. And he has a moment where he's like, I feel like everything's going wrong all the time. And I feel like it's my fault and I don't know what to do about it. It's like, yeah, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. It's like, yeah, I get it. I, you know what I mean? And so that whole, for me, the opening act where we're kind of like laying out the rules felt a little like, it felt more traditional. It felt like something you'd see in a more traditional blockbuster of like...
That dragged a little bit. The first act was like, okay, it's just taking a second to get us in here.
But once we like establish it and we get into the main conflict and we're all that, it's like, oh, super sold. And I liked it. For me, it plays in my brain what I call like Rick and Morty rules, where if you're talking about like multiple dimensions or whatever... You don't really have a context. We don't really have a context or a language to talk about it. So to convey the limitless of it, we use nonsense. Like we just hit you with not like hot dog hands, which even that has like an emotional fucking payoff where it's like, yeah, we can't use our hands, but we've learned to use our feet. And it's like, fuck, man, this movie's on top of its shit. Like, even silly, stupid bullshit, like, it has like a thesis on. Super cool. Very glad you watched it. Now, what can I get you to watch next? Are you going to check out Northman? It's on Peacock. Northman's very much not the same as Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I thought you said Morpheus.
No, Northman. The Northman.
I don't know that. A lot of movies people are telling me recently on streaming, like Valet, people are saying is good to watch.
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, I know Northman is now on Peacock for those who want to check that out. Very tonally different.
I still haven't seen fucking Jackass, DJ.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's lovely. I watched that. Right here. Yeah, it's lovely. What a weird thing to say about Jackass. That's my kind of nostalgia.
No, but I hear it's great.
I also saw a movie, Roxy, called Crimes of the Future. Do you know anything about this?
No. When you first texted me Crimes of the Future, I was like, of Grindelwald?
No. Yeah, I went back and rewatched it. I was like, you know what? I need to revisit this movie and give it a second chance. No, Crimes of the Future is the new movie from Cronenberg, who has worked on The Fly, Scanners, which is a movie I really like, Videodrome, a bunch of great stuff. And this is his big return to body horror. His stuff is more is known. It's The Fly. You know what I mean? It's people's bodies falling apart and failing them and all that shit in gross, disgusting ways. And so this movie.
Yeah. I heard of this now.
Yes. You did. So this movie takes place in a future where people have basically are evolving in strange ways. We no longer feel pain in the same way. What's the other thing? We don't really get diseases. So people, because we don't feel pain and we don't really get diseases, people are just like cutting into each other on the street kind of a thing. And we follow Viggo Mortensen, who plays Saul Tenser, and Leah Seydoux, who plays Caprice. And they're like these performance artists. And Viggo Mortensen's character just spontaneously grows organs, that brand new, never before seen organs. And they make performance out of removing these organs. And there's a bit at the beginning of the movie, like, this was another movie where I was like, are we...
You can die, though, DJ?
Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. But, like, it's just evolution is just taking weird turns. And there's it took me a good 20 minutes to, like, get into the vibe of the movie. There was earlier on, I was like, okay, are we just being weird to just be weird? Or are we, like, doing something here? And then once it's like, oh, no, we're doing something here. Got it. Fuck. I don't... Have you seen any of the movies that I listed off, like The Fly or Scanners or anything?
Yeah, I saw The Fly...
How do you feel about?
I think I did like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's an older
15
one.
Years ago.
Yeah. How did you feel about it at the time?
My brother, I don't remember. When people talk about it, I'm like, I think I remember seeing this, but like, icky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel very strongly that this movie is not necessarily for everyone, and that's totally fine. But it was very much for me. We've got like Kristen Stewart's in there, and her performance is strange. It took me a good...
What is like her energy?
It's hard to describe. Like, mousy. She plays like an assistant to another doctor character, and she's like mousy but horny. And it took me a good two-thirds of the movie to like dial into like what she's doing. Shout out to Scott Speedman, who was on a show that I watched. I think it was called Last Resort, that he was pretty good in. He's in this movie. He's very good. And of course, I really like Viggo Mortensen's one of those people that I feel like should say less publicly. Like, he'll say things and I'm like, hey, man.
I don't know. I haven't followed any of that.
Because he was in Green Book, and he would, like, when people was backlash on Green Book, he was like trying to defend it. It's like, hey, man, you're a really great actor. Just shh. And he was comparing like Titan to Cronenberg's Crash in an unfavorable way. And it's like, calm down, guy. I think Viggo Mortensen's great. He's great in this movie.
Oh, he did Crash?
I don't think he was. No, not. There's. I'm talking about a different, not the Oscar-winning Crash. I'm talking about Cronenberg's Crash, which I don't think I've seen, actually. And based on what I've heard about Crash, I would remember it had I seen it. But yeah, it's just, it's not as gross. There was reports that like people fucking walked out of the Cannes screening. This is not that gross, I don't think. It's not as gross as people said. It is a body horror movie, so I don't know how people feel about that. but I fucking loved it. I fucking loved it. I think where it's thesis on humanity, and kind of the thoughts it presents about the human body and expression, I think are shockingly pertinent and kind of important to our time and expressed in a very interesting way. And so I know, like, fuck, man, The Fly was a hit. And I know we just don't watch movies like that now. But I would say go check out Everything Everywhere All at Once. Go check out Crimes of the Future. Just, you know, this is why we do what we're into. Just check out some other things.
As you talk about movies, DJ, I'm just realizing I'm just watching so much more television than movies that, like, it's going to be another one of those years at the end of the year that people are like, these were my top 10 movies. And I'm like, I have not seen a single one of those.
Yeah. Well, you're a TV gal. You're watching all the shows.
Yeah, but I still feel like, don't I see you at 2 screenings a week? How am I still missing this many movies?
Well, that's the other thing. I tried it, like, that's how I end up going to stuff like Crimes of the Future on the weekend, because a lot of our screening, you know, our screenings are the big blockbustery da-da-da movies, you know what I mean? And that's not always the best. And so it makes sense that, like, you know, you're seeing a lot of blockbusters because that's what we're talking about. Like, we talked about Jurassic World this week. We're talking about Lightyear next week. You know, we're not going to do an episode on Crimes of the Future. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's how that stuff slips through the cracks. But yeah, I recommend it. If you're open to a little bit of, icky stuff, you do like The Boys, and The Boys is icky.
I like cringe TV, as you know.
Yes.
But this sounds more bleh than bleh.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That's a good point. That's a good point. John Lee.
I'm like that episode of Barry.
John Lieber in the chat says, I'm catching up on Young Justice. And that reminds me, Roxy, I know you don't watch Young Justice because you don't believe in animation as a medium. You're very, very vocal about that.
Yeah, I think that all animators are bad.
Yeah. It's on the record now.
Society.
Young Justice just wrapped up its fourth season. Oh, and it's really good, but it does remind me of an anime. I don't watch a lot of anime, but the anime I watch is not afraid of exposition. You know, in Western storytelling, we've got a big, like, show don't tell. Anime is not afraid to tell, and neither is Young Justice. There are huge chunks of the finale like, hey, remember the beginning of the season when this happened? Here's everything that happened since. It's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I got it. We're good. We're good to go. I don't need this. Or in some cases, I do need this, but maybe that means your plot was too complicated because you're explaining it and I'm still a little bit lost, but that's okay. Let's just keep going. But really cool. Glad this show got a fourth season. It does set up a fifth season. It's one of those things, Roxy, you know where you watch a show that's kind of like on the bubble. You don't know if it's getting another season and it drops its last, that's the last episode of the season. You're like, oh, you just perfectly, yeah, end on this note. And then it throws out this one last tease. You're like, you son of a bitch. What if you don't get to follow this up?
What was it? Can you not say?
Yeah, I'll say. It dropped earlier this week. So it ends with the marriage of Miss Martian and Superboy, who have been a couple since the very first season, which even though it's four seasons, that's like a decade because it went off the air for a while. So they finally, and this season really put those two characters specifically through the ringer. We thought Superboy was dead. It turned out he wasn't dead. He was working for the bad guys for a second. It was a whole fucking thing. And so we end classic superhero wedding. They get married. All the characters from the show are there. It's this beautiful moment of like just a culmination of everything we've been doing for four seasons. Great. Credits roll. Post-credit. Darkseid, who's been the two big bads of the show, are Darkseid and Vandal Savage. They're kind of like working together.
Are they joined together? Okay.
Kind of. They're like frenemies. Where Darkseid basically gets to run all of space, and Vandal, as long as he leaves Vandal Savage alone on Earth. And props to Roxy. You'll remember Vandal Savage from Legends of Tomorrow. Not necessarily our most beloved villain on that show.
No, certainly not.
Young Justice has turned Vandal Savage into the OP. He is the villain of all villains on Young Justice.
No fucking way.
Yeah, he is like, he is formidable on that show. Yeah, it's incredible because there's a whole pocket in this season where we're detailing how Vandal Savage came to be and how he's like on top of, like, he's in charge of pretty much every villain on the show. It's insane. It's they did really good stuff with the character. Anyway, Darkseid is presented with two new lieutenants, and one of them is Mary Marvel from the Marvel family, who we established early in the season was not happy with her lot, and now she's become evil. And we get our very first introduction, a whole plot line in season four is that Kryptonians in the Phantom Zone, and Vandal Savage is able to the heroes defeat them, but they're like, we're going to go back and free them on a planet with a red sun because we're not going to just leave them in there. But too late, Vandal Savage got in there and scooped them all up, and now he has them all. But he had to give one to Darkseid, and who is the one he gives to Darkseid? Kara Zor-El, Supergirl, who's now, and it's like, you fuck, and we haven't had her on the show. She's never been a part of the show yet. So it's like, ah, fuck.
Oh, is she Kara, not Kara on the show?
Oh, I don't know. I always fuck it up. That's a good point. It's, I don't know.
It just would be interesting if they go interchangeably.
Change whatever. But it's, I think it's reference to when she was reintroduced in the comics in like the early 2000s. She was like brainwashed into working for Darkseid. So this feels like a reference to that. But it's like, fuck, I want to. We haven't done Supergirl on the show. I'd be interested to see how the show does Supergirl.
And you don't know if it's getting picked up?
I don't. Guys, let me know in the chat if it is. I don't think it is.
Let me know,
chat. If it is. Also, crazy thing this season is Young Justice was on the air with Green Lantern, the animated series. And that show also got unceremoniously canceled. An episode in this season resolved the plot line from that show, and they previously had not been established as part of the same universe, but they brought back a character from that show, and it's like, hey, here's what happened to him.
Do you have no Poison Ivy, no Harley, no Catwoman, no Black Canary, no, like, who are your women on the show? Wonder Woman?
Young Justice primarily focuses on teen heroes. So this season especially focused on our original main group, which is Nightwing, Aqualad, who's now Aquaman, Zatanna, who's a little bit younger in this version of the show, Rocket from the Milestone Universe, Artemis, who appeared briefly on Arrow, who goes under the codename Tigress in this, Miss Martian, and then Superboy, and I think that's our main crew. I might be forgetting somebody. And then Black Canary is actually like a counselor for them. She's like their youth counselor kind of a thing.
Is it Diana Drake or Laurel Lance? Don't know.
I think Laurel. Yeah, I don't. I think we just call her Black Canary. I don't know. It's got to be Laurel. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be Laurel, I think, because she's the main one from the comics. So she shows up. She has a big plot line with Beast Boy, who's going through PTSD this season. Oh, and I should mention Halo, who's a character from The Outsiders in the comics, and they do some really cool stuff with her as she figures out her gender identity. A lot of cool stuff there. So we see the other main heroes briefly because we're dealing with Phantom Zone stuff. We get a little time with Superman this season. And
who are other villains other than Darkseid and Vandal Savage that you guys have dabbled with?
Everybody. Everybody. We've seen Joker. He showed up in earlier seasons.
Do you have a Penguin, a Riddler? Do you have Batman villains?
Yeah, they are known to exist. In fact, there's a whole off-screen plot line where they're like, why isn't Batman here? Oh, there's a whole big battle with all his villains in Gotham. Like, everybody's over there right now. And I don't know if that was like, we're not allowed to use him right now, and that's our explanation of why he's not there. But everybody,
none of the girl villain, not Harley, not Poison Ivy, not,
they exist. I don't know that we've seen them because we've established like basically the villains are the villains and the heroes at this point are whole armies functionally.
Yeah,
because there's
trying to understand like what DC is doing in terms of like where certain characters are allowed to be, because like as you mentioning Superboy, who we have in live action also
on Titans, or, yeah.
Like, you know, just interesting, like who's allowed where, what time.
Well, and who knows how those rules are going to change with the whole Discovery thing too, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, mm-hmm. I feel like at this point, pretty much every character has at least made a cameo, like shown up on screen on Young Justice, even if they haven't had a voice actor, you know, like haven't said anything. They're like, hey, they're there over there. In the chat, Kim Reese says the direction of Barry is so good. Leonard Kim is watching Barry, Time Traveler's Wife, Obi-Wan, Miss Marvel. We didn't talk about Miss Marvel this week because we did a whole episode on it that went on YouTube. We'll be back on it next week. Star Trek Strange New World and Top Gun Maverick and Fire Island, Glenn Caesar, Obi-Wan Kenobi, AEW Wrestling, NBA Playoffs. Caleb Marie brought up in from Barry, wait, so Darcy Carden's character stole her show idea? I was also a little confused on that.
Yeah.
I thought it may be a callback to an earlier season that I don't remember.
I think it's just now she's working on another show that this was her previous show was just canceled and like she feels like parts of it are stolen even though it's not.
Yeah, because they mentioned like Just Desserts and I was like, was that a thing Sally pitched in an earlier season? Whatever. And those are the things. Oh, Ulysses Campbell says season 5 isn't confirmed yet, but you're right, we need it. Yeah, don't leave me on that cliffhanger, especially when you had such a good fucking out. You could just end it. And Leonard Kinn says, what genre is Crimes of the Future? And I will say the genre is a Cronenberg movie. If you've ever seen a video, it's hard to describe. Body horror. It's a body horror movie. Anyway.
What sound would you say it is? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the sound. Roxy, remind the kids at home where they can find you.
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
Gosh dang it. And you can find me at DJ Talks Trash. If you're listening to this, you're already on the Patreon. Thank you so much for being a patron. Please go to hellbentcomicbook.com because patrons are going to get special exclusive rewards for every physical tier. There's going to be two stickers that only you guys get for free if you are a patron and you go over to the Kickstarter as well. So check that out. And we will see you all next week. Bye, everybody. And by everybody that watched live, Kayla Marie, Leonard Kim, Ulysses Campbell, Glenn Caesar, anybody else John Libra, thank you all. Really appreciate it. We'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.